Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse number 23, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. They've had some questions from him, and they've been asking him these questions, so he's writing a response to them, answering the questions that they have, and he says this. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Verse 24, "And when he had given thanks," everybody say, "Give thanks." See, it's Thanksgiving. We're going to give thanks tonight as we prepare to receive communion. "When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now, in a lot of traditions, in a lot of churches, and I'm not putting anyone down, but a lot of times you will find that people stop right there and they don't go any further. Now, I was blessed. I've had two pastors in my lifetime, and I'm also like living the craziest life you ever lived because both of my pastors attended my church. Now, one of them's gone on to be with Jesus. The other one's here tonight. But both of my pastors throughout my lifetime, when they approach these verses, continue to read on, because this is, even though it's written with sections and chapters and verses, when it was originally written, this was a letter. It was a continuous thought, and he doesn't stop there when he's talking about communion. He goes on to talk about the right way to receive. Verse 27, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner," everybody say unworthy, "unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, if I was to ask you, do you want to be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord? You'd say, no. No way do I want to be guilty. And yet he says, if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, you'll be guilty. And so it's very important that we understand what that means. Look at the next verse, verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Tonight, you need to take a look inside. Tonight, you need to examine yourself and find out, am I worthy to receive or am I unworthy? Because the next verse goes on in verse 29. It says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner," two times in three verses, he repeats himself. You know when God starts repeating himself, his children ought to listen up. We ought to pay attention. I know with my kids, when I start repeating myself, I start raising my voice. They start listening. "Dad, you already said that." "Yes, I know I did. I'm making a point." God is making a point. And it says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Remember, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." There's an emphasis, there's a focus as we receive communion. But if we eat and drink in an unworthy manner, we're not focused in the right place. And in doing so, it says we eat and drink judgment to ourselves. Again, if I was to ask you, do you want to eat and drink judgment to yourself? You would say, no way. I don't want judgment. Verse 30, though, comes along and says, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Another translation of that would be, many have died. Why? Because they ate and drank it in an unworthy manner. They didn't discern the Lord's body. Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Tonight, you need to take a look. Tonight, you need to examine yourself. Tonight, you need to see, how am I coming? How am I approaching this table, this communion table? How am I approaching the body and the blood of our Lord, the bread and the cup that's being delivered to me? Tonight, if you're looking at yourself and you're looking at your life and you conclude that I'm about ready to eat and drink in an unworthy manner, I would let this pass me by. I wouldn't partake. Why? Because you don't want to drink and eat judgment to yourself. You don't want to be weak. You don't want to be sick. And you definitely don't want to die prematurely. Or how about this? Find out how to come in a worthy manner. We sang it tonight. The only way that we're worthy is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only way that we can be worthy is by what the worthy one did on our behalf. That's the only way. And it's our faith leaning on his finished work on the cross that does anything for us. It's a wholehearted surrender of everything where you say, "God, all of me, you got it all. I'm laying down my life." And you take up his life and he makes you new on the inside. The Bible calls it being born again. Now, I know. We talk about being born again, and sometimes people turn off. They shut off Why? Because they've seen movies and read blogs on the internet and seen magazine articles about it that said born again is weird, born again is goofy, no one wants to be born again is a spring fashion line or some crazy thing that you see some guy on a soapbox on the street corner shouting at people. They're the born again Christians. Or maybe there was a celebrity that you didn't like that was now born again and they're weird and you're going, I don't like them and I don't want to be weird. Well, listen, you don't have to be weird. But if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said it, you must be born again. And Jesus is God in the flesh. There's no other way to get to heaven. See, sometimes people think, if I could just be good enough, if I can just earn my way into heaven, maybe I'll impress God with how good I am. But the Bible says that your goodness compared to God's goodness is like filthy rags. They're going to get thrown out, not going to get to stay. You can't be good enough to earn your way into heaven. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one's perfect. Except one, his name is Jesus. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good. Sometimes people think that if they're just born in the right home, born in the right family, if their parents told them they were Christians growing up, or maybe if they're born in a Christian nation, or they're not some other religion, that by default, they get lumped into the category of being a Christian, they get to head for heaven and deny hell. But it's not about what you're born into, it's about being born again into. Doesn't matter your family association, location on the earth. I don't care if you wore a cross or a St. Christopher around your neck or had a t-shirt that said Jesus or a tattoo with a scripture on it, that's not going to get you into heaven. There are no default settings. You might have been to those religious classes, Sunday school or Sabbath school or catechism class, and yet none of those things will get you a place in heaven. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, I understand that was, you know, when I was a child, but I've grown up and I've continued to attend church. In fact, I'm in church right now. I should be home preparing a pie. I should be home brining the turkey. I should be home doing something, cleaning, or, you know, I got a lot of people showing up tomorrow, and yet I came to church, or I pressed in to watch online tonight and just took a pause. That's great. I'm glad you're here. Glad you're watching online, but show that to me in the Bible where you sit in church service or watch one online that gets you into heaven. It's not there. Oh, but Pastor, my last church, we got involved. I helped out, I sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader, even got a membership card to that church and taught in the Bible classes. Doesn't that mean that I'm a Christian? Well, no, because in the Bible you'll read that there was a group of people that prophesied in Jesus' name. They did miracles in Jesus' name, and yet something was wrong on the inside of them. And they didn't make it. It's not about your church attendance, not about your church involvement. Ah, I got it, I know God, don't worry about me. I could quote scriptures, Pastor, Old New Testament, sing the songs of Christmas, celebrate Easter every year of my life. I believe that makes me a Christian, right? Wrong. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere does it say that knowing God will get you into heaven. Everybody look up at me for a second, even online, look at your screen right now. It's not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about what you had done ahead with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or involvement, but rather it's about your heart. See, being born again is not a physical, natural thing that you can do or you can earn. It's only by a simple surrender of all of your heart and life that God comes in and he makes you brand new on the inside. And as he does that, now your sin is washed away and now you are worthy. That means that tonight, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not headed for heaven, then I would encourage you to let that cup pass you by. Or how about this? Tonight, surrender everything to God, all of your heart and all of your life. Tonight, I will give you that opportunity. The moment, I'm going to count to three just like this. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand in this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear my hand pop on that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. And what you're doing in raising your hand is you're making the statement, I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. I want to be born again, head for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. And then you can put it right back down. Tonight, it doesn't get any easier, by the way. I'm not going to have you come forward. I will pray with you right there in your seat. Right there. Don't have to get up. Don't have to come forward. None of that. Tonight, we'll all pray this together with you. You say, but, you know, I came with people and they think I'm cool and they think I'm all right with God. And if they see my hand go up, they'll know. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I will deny you. Tonight, it's your call. It's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. And that is a choice. Or how about this? Tonight, choose courage. Choose to be bold. Choose life. Choose to get that hand up high. Hey, listen, would you rather be embarrassed or would you rather end up in hell forever? I think that, you know, the choice is easy when it's put in terms like that, don't you? And God is beckoning you tonight. Hey, don't be ashamed. Jesus hung for you, beaten, bloody, and a public spectacle for all to see. And now with open arms. He's inviting you to come. Will you come? Give him all of your heart. Give him all of your life. And then tonight, after we pray, tonight you can have a clear conscience. You can be forgiven and freed, and you can approach this table in a worthy manner, receiving all that God has for you. Not judgment, not sickness, not weakness, not death. No, life and health and strength. All because God paid the price for you. Who should raise your hand in a moment if you've been running from God instead of to God and speaking to you? Who should raise your hand if you're not sure? Make sure. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you prayed a prayer at one time, but you didn't follow it up with all of your heart and life. Maybe you're backslidden and you need to come home like the prodigal. Or maybe you're lukewarm. You're just kind of lethargic in your walk with God. You're a little in, little out, little up, little down. You got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You're riding the fence. Jesus said that if he comes, he wants to find you hot or cold. But if he finds you lukewarm, he says, I'll vomit you from my mouth. Lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. How do I know that? Because only real Christians, only people that are not real Christians will be ejected and rejected from the body of Christ. Tonight, it's your night. If you need to get right with God, or maybe you need to make a rededication to the Lord so that you know in your heart of hearts, as I approach this communion table, I can eat and drink tonight in a worthy manner. Tonight, you need to give your heart and life to the Lord. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand in this microphone live and even online. Hey, you may feel silly raising your hand even if you're all alone, but God sees you right where you're at. Get ready to get your hands up. Here we go. You ready? One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. That's you. Thank you. There's one, two, three. Thank you. God bless you. There's four right here. Yes. Five. Thank you. Six, seven, eight, nine. Thank you. God bless you. There's 10 up in the back. 11. Who else tonight? Who else tonight? If I saw your hand and you know it, you can put it down. Anybody else? I got you over there. Yeah, thank you. There's 11 wise people. Need to make sure tonight you're saying, I want to come and I want to eat and drink in a worthy manner. There's 12 over here. Yeah, good call. 13 right there. Yes. God bless you. Who else? You're saying, I need to get right with God. I want to make sure tonight. There's 14. Oh, right up here in front. Thank you. Thanks for the help, you guys. 14, 15 up in the back. Got you over there. Yes. Thank you. That's great. I got them. Yeah, 16 up front. Yeah, that's wonderful. Who else tonight? You're just saying, I want to make sure. Listen, I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. Anybody else, you're saying, yeah, I need to get right with God. There's another one on this side. Where are you at? Just want to make sure. All the way up in the back. Gotcha. Gotcha. Thank you. God bless you. That's number 18. Am I counting correctly? Help me out. Yell at me if I'm not. No, don't yell. Ushers might tackle you. 18 wise people. Anybody else? Anybody else? Real quick, just want to make sure. Come on, number 19. If you're sitting there wondering if you should do this, yeah, you should. 19, got you right there. Number 20, yeah, got you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just want to make sure. 21, yeah, up on top, pointing over this direction. 22, yeah, thank you. Thank you. 23, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Just making sure tonight. Just making sure. That's okay. 24. Is there anybody else? You got to round the number off, don't you? We can't just leave it at 24. It's got to be 25. 25. There you are. Amen. Amen. It's okay if there's a stirring in your heart. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes you got to wrestle with God a little bit. That's all right. Last call. Last call, and then we're going to pray. Anybody else? Like I said, couldn't get any easier. I'm going to pray the unities. 26 up here. Yeah, 26. I got you right there. Wonderful. Last call. Running through. Anybody else in these center sections? Anybody else on this side? All right. Hey, 27 right in the last. Hey, come on. Give the Lord a praise for 27 wise people. Amen. Amen. If I had it all to do over again, I'd just have you all raise your hand at the same time. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Hey, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Something about standing as we enter the presence of God. Would you just stand your feet right where you're at? Like I said, not going to call you forward. I'm going to pray with you right there in your seat. But it's just something about standing in the presence of God. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. You're going to be born again right where you're at. Washed and made clean. Forgiven all the wrongs that you've done. And tonight you get a brand new start with a brand new heart. And I want to encourage you. Listen, if your motivation is just to take communion, God sees through that. Make your motivation that I want to serve God the rest of my life, that I want to be forgiven and free for the rest of my days into eternity. Get your eyes on heaven, and communion is a beautiful reminder of how that works and how that happens, okay? So tonight, put your heart on the Lord, okay, and realize that this is a commitment I'm making. And in fact, keep coming. If you're in the area, if you're out of the area, find a local church. But if you're in the area, keep coming to church consistently. Give us this next year. Come consistently and watch as God changes your life. You'll be hooked on Jesus for the rest. I guarantee it. Let's pray together. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and say this out loud together with me in faith? Say, Father God, I come to you tonight in Jesus' name. I give you all of my heart and all of my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came, he died, and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days. Tonight, I come to your table in a worthy manner because of what you've done for me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on. Can we just say praise the Lord for our new brothers and sisters? Hallelujah. Welcome to the family of God. Now, for those of you that prayed that prayer for the first time, or even if it was a rededication, we would love to connect with you right after church service tonight. We're not done just yet. We're going to receive communion right now, and so Pastor Jess is going to start making her way up to the platform with me. But for those of you that prayed that prayer, on your way out tonight, we'll have some friends. Pastor Joel up here is waving a free book that we have available for you guys, a little booklet, just to help you to find out what just happened and what to do next in your walk with God. In fact, the book's called I'm New, What Do I Do? It will answer that question for you and help you to get the right start with God as you start this new journey of life with God, okay? So after church, we'll remind you that on your way out, you'll see some friends that are waving those books. Just head up over there, say, I prayed, I gave my heart to the Lord, can I have one of those books? And they would love to connect with you for a quick minute and then send you on your way, okay? All right, family, can we welcome Pastor Jess? Hey, Pastor Jess.
Aw, happy Thanksgiving. Are you guys ready to eat tomorrow? Okay, but before we do, we're gonna honor God with our offering of just remembering who he is. So you can go ahead and have a seat. And if you did not get your little bread and fake wine, raise your hand and the ushers will get that to you. We decided that, you know, probably serving you guys wine is not a good thing.
I'm joking. Some of y'all can't be trusted.
If you don't know us, we're joking, okay? It's a joke, people, it's a joke. So I just want to play. I'm ready to like have some fun.
Well, let's have some fun. We're going to do this a little different tonight. We're just going to be a little bit more casual, okay? A little storytelling, some different things going on. And so, yeah. Pastor Jess, take us away.
You know, we were talking about Thanksgiving this year, and I had shared with the girls in Women Rock AM when we were together this last week how Thanksgiving was kind of like a dread in my heart. Has anybody lost someone in the first holidays? You know, when you've lost them, you're dreading it. You're like, this is horrible. I do not want to do this without this person that I loved, and now I have to do the holidays without them. And so last year, we were just talking about it, me and Mom on the front row, and I'm like, I don't even remember. She's like, last year was your birthday on Thanksgiving. I'm like, I didn't even remember that, because I just remember the holidays were so not fun, and nothing was good about them last year except for God, because he's always good about every single day of every year. But I remember it was probably about August, and we were, the girls, my team was asking me, okay, Pastor, what's your vision for Christmas? And I'm like, what? You want me to be full of vision? I'm like on RockCon, like I'm trying to make sure my kids are going where they need to go. And there was all this stuff going on in my life and busy, busy, busy. And I just remember thinking, I don't want to do the holidays. My heart just stopped when I heard about Christmas and Thanksgiving. I was just like, where I used to love the holidays. They were my favorite time of the year. And just for some reason, I wanted to just know, let's just skip them again. And I felt this overwhelming discouragement and this overwhelming dread. And I knew it wasn't of God, but I didn't know how to get out of it. And some of you in this room tonight, there's going to be so many reasons to not have the joy of the Lord in these holiday seasons. It can be a job, it can be a disappointment of a breakup or a divorce, or you don't feel good, or your table looks different like ours does now. And the Lord began to minister to my heart, and he got me alone one day which is very hard to do because I have a lot of people in my world always knocking on my doors, and dogs too. They are so annoying. Every time I read my Bible, I think they're full of the devil because they are trying to play right in front of me and jump on my Bible. And I just remembered the Lord almost like put me away, like where I was just alone and I had no choice but to talk to him. And he was like, let's deal with this. And he's just good like that. Have you ever just known he's just a loving father if you just let him come and help you? And I said, God, I don't want to do the holidays and I'm supposed to be strong for everybody else, but I feel so weak. And he said, but you're never supposed to be strong in your own strength. And I just heard that. I just heard it just dropped. It was like, I know that. But I come on, suck it up, buttercup, like, let's go. I'm like the swords out, shields up, girl, but I'm like, I don't want to do the holidays this year. And God's like, but why? And I said, because my dad's not at the table anymore. And Dan's dad's not at the table anymore. And it just looks different. And my kids are getting their own lives, and I'm getting old, and mom is sad, and my mother-in-law is sad, and everybody's sad, sad. And he goes, well, they're not sad, they're with me. And he said, so you don't have to be sad either because I'm with you. And I went, oh, forgive me. I guess I discredited the fact that you're at my table, God, and that I'm hosting you. And so he began to heal my heart and he said, remember the joy of the Lord is your strength during this season. Remember the joy of the Lord. And I started to just eat on that for a while. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when church, I want to help you. When you get sad and like Pastor Dan talked about this week and those flaming arrows that come into your head and tell you you're not good enough, tell you you're not going to make it, that nobody's at your table, nobody loves you. He's really good at telling us how bad we are. I'm here to remind you tonight, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that he loves you, and that he's at your table. If it's just you and him tomorrow, he's at your table. You are hosting the King of the universe in your home and in your house and in your heart. Amen. And as I was going to get my mom, she lives past the cemetery where my dad lives, and I always have to drive past the cemetery. And if you knew Jim Cobray, he was a funny man, and he would say, don't you dare ever go to a cemetery for me. I'm not there. And he would just be like, we're never going. Don't do that. Da-da-da. You know, like he just was always like, I'm with Jesus. You just suck it up. Like, and so I remember driving past the cemetery, and they had just put up his, I don't know what it's called. Monument. Thank you. I always don't know what to call it. A monument, finally, after a year and a half. And it has his name and his favorite scripture and a beautiful cross. And I said, I'd like to stop there, God. And he says, your mom's going to ask you today to stop. Can you open this for me? Your mom's going to ask you to go see that today. Hold on 1 second. Every time. And as I drove, I said, I don't want to go with her because she's going to be sad. And I'm not sad anymore. I have the joy of the Lord. And he said, she's not going to be sad in that way. Why don't you want to go? And I said, Dad said for us not to go to the cemetery because he's not there. And he said, but it's like communion. And it's actually sacred. And it's a place for you to go and remember. Remember who he was to you. Remember what he carried in your life and the voice he was and his presence in your world. And you can talk to him. How do you know I don't let him hear you? I said, well, I do think you probably do. And he goes, you go and you spend time with your dad. That's why I created these things. And he said, but when you go into communion next week, remember in the same way when you go to a cemetery to remember who your dad was. I said to my disciples sitting at that table before I was going to that cross, remember me. Remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. Church, let's remember him tonight as we take communion, that he is Alpha and Omega, that he is more than enough in your world, that no matter how you think of yourself, he thinks of you greater. No matter what you think is good enough, he's more than enough. Remember, his mercies are new every morning, and his grace is more sufficient than the day before, that he's going to get you to the next step, and he's going to go before you and beyond you, that he is God, that he is Abba, he is Father, he is enough, he is Jehovah Sikkenu, he is Jehovah Nisi, that he undid his deity, and he wrapped himself in humanity, and he came in the form of a babe in the middle of nowhere that nobody would know he would show up, and he walked this earth for 33 years, and he loved people, and he also was mad at people, and he rebuked people, and he taught us how to be holy. He did signs, miracles, and wonders, and 33 years later, he put himself on a cross for you and for me. And as he was on the cross, he said, Father, do not. They forgive them. Forgive them, Father, because they do not know what they do. His mercy and his blood was poured out as a selfless sacrifice for our sins to be forgiven. And no longer did we have to just wait on a priest and an animal to wash our sins on the Day of Atonement, but he became the atonement. He became the last Adam. He became the fulfillment of the law. He became the blood and the lamb that was broken open for us. Amen. So if your heart is discouraged tonight, I hope you leave built up and remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength and that we're gonna remember him tonight. And we were actually reading it in these verses. Do you wanna read it, Dan? It's right here.
Yeah, this is Nehemiah chapter number 8. The priests are reading from the law, the book of the law. The people have not heard this. They finally gathered. They built up a wall around Jerusalem. And now it's time for them to restore worship. And so in doing so, the place that they go is the place we all ought to go, into the word of the Lord. So they're reading from the book of the law. In verse number 6, it says this: Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Drop down to verse number 8. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. If you ever wonder why preachers are so long-winded, here's the reason why. It's because we're helping people. We're helping people. If you ever wonder why we tell stories, I mean, I'll do anything. If I have to stand on my head, I will, if somebody understands the word of the law. Why? Because I want them to know what God says. I want them to understand it because it won't do them any good if they don't understand. So they read distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Verse number 9, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, all said to the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Notice, they heard what they were supposed to be doing and realized we're not doing this. And their hearts were so tender that they started to cry. But the priest said, hold on, guys. Wait a second. Don't cry. Don't cry, because today is a holy day. Today is a day that is sacred. It's the Lord's day. Verse number 10, then he said to them, go your way. And I like this part. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. And send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. We just showed you a video of this church giving portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For whatever reason, maybe they lost a job, maybe bills were just high. But that's what we're doing. We're gonna eat the fat, drink the sweet. We're gonna take care of our brothers and sisters. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Verse number 11, so the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy, and do not be grieved. Verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice, look at this, greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Our hope is that you guys, as we approach the Lord's table and as we take the word of the Lord as holy, that we go our way, and tomorrow you eat the fat, you drink the sweet, and that you remember that you were part of sending portions to those who had none. I just want to quickly read a letter that was sent after the outreach. And they said this. They said, I want to take a moment and share something. As a man, I've always found it difficult to ask for help, especially when it comes to providing for my family. I've been coming to the Rock for almost a year now, and honestly, I still struggle with humbling myself in certain ways. Recently, I felt a sense of embarrassment, but also knew I needed to reach out. I applied to receive a turkey from the church, and I want to be honest, I had a lot of thoughts rushing through my mind. I felt guilty about not being able to provide a Thanksgiving dinner for my family and myself, and I wondered what people might think. I prayed and prayed to God, asking him to humble my heart and to help me overcome my ego so I could do what was best for my family, even if it meant accepting help. The day arrived and I found myself waiting in line. I almost left a few times, questioning what I was doing and worrying about what others might think, but I kept praying. Look at this, giving thanks to God for his provision. When I finally reached the front, I was surprised to see familiar faces from church. There were no judgments or questions, just warm smiles and genuine love from everyone there. It was truly humbling and beautiful to see the outpouring of love and kindness. So I want to sincerely thank the Rock Church and everyone who shared their love and generosity. Your support helped provide a Thanksgiving dinner for my family when I didn't know how I was going to make it happen. It's a reminder of how powerful community and faith are, and I am truly grateful. Thank you for all that you do and for being a part of my journey. Come on, can we give the Lord a praise?
That's
eat
so
the fat,
precious.
Drink the sweet, and send portions to those who have none.
And to love each other. This Thanksgiving and Christmas season, I want to challenge you to go into your world and around our world and choose love. Not the world's love, but a love that comes from heaven and a love that only can come from God. That's true and real love. And I want you to just ask God to use you this Thanksgiving season. How can I bless someone? How can I love someone? Lord, send someone across my path, whether you're at the DMV or whether you're at the grocery store. Just look for ways to show the love of God and be grateful and thankful for all that he's done in your life. And you watch God use you as a full-time minister into the highways and the byways. I'm just so grateful this year. And so let's start. Let's be grateful and let's pray together. And it says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord on that same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. If you peel back that first layer of your little cup and pull out the white wafer, Pastor Dan always breaks it.
Because he gave thanks and then he broke it.
And I love that. And his body was broken for us. Let's remember tonight what he did for us. You couldn't save yourself, church. I couldn't save myself. I was undeserving. Pastor Dan was undeserving. You're undeserving. But God saw us and he said, no, I'm going to make a way. And I'm going to restore back everything Satan has taken from you. And I'm going to become a broken mess on a cross so that I can then 3 days later raise from the dead. But I want you to always remember the sacrifice that I gave so that you can live freely in Christ. And so let's remember tonight, maybe just think about something beautiful that God rescued you from, a place and a moment. I'll just give you a moment and just thank him. Just pause and thank him. Lord, we just thank you for being broken open for us so that we could come boldly to your throne. So that, Lord, we can have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So we can be who you need us to be. And so, God, that you can use our hands and our feet to be witnesses of your good news and the gospel into this broken and dying world. So, Lord, on this Thanksgiving, when things can be dark around us and horrible things can be happening everywhere, attacks from the enemy left and right, Lord, we stand strong and we remember what you did and we stand confident because you gave everything for us. So as we take eat of this bread in remembrance of you, of your broken body, Lord, we thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Go ahead and partake.
First Corinthians 11, verse 25. in verse 26. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." You know, the reason why blood sacrifice was important in the Bible is because blood represented life. And when you see that blood is shed, you realize that a life has been given. An innocent life for a guilty party. That's why the sacrifice was substitution. Jesus was our substitute. He was the innocent life that was given for the guilty party. But you'll probably understand this in modern day terminology when we talk about signing a contract, and people may jokingly say that they want you to sign it in blood. Why? Because there's something deeper about that, isn't there? It's more than just ink. It's more than just print on a page. When something's signed with blood, there was a sacrifice that was made. And it's more serious. And this new covenant that we have is the closest, deepest, most sacred of all contracts. It's an agreement. And beyond agreement, it's this word called oneness. That the very life of God is given to his body. He is the head and we are the body, and we receive life from him, his life flowing in us. And that blood is what secured that oneness. It's what secured our covenant. See, in covenant relationship, it was no longer two parties, but one. If two different tribes gathered together and said, "Hey, we want to get into covenant," even though they might have different names and different locations, their enemies were now their same enemies. If someone came against one tribe, the other had to come and help them. Their resources were now shared. You know, the best idea of this that we get in modern day terminology is marriage. When two people come together as one, and now no longer is it Dan and Jess, now it's the Roths. All of a sudden we become one. What's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers. I'm just playing. It's all ours, right? It's all ours. We're in covenant. Everything is one together. But see, with God, I think sometimes we miss this truth, because it's a beautiful truth that now, hey, when you receive Jesus as your Lord, you're remembering that there was a covenant that was made in his blood. It's serious, and God is very serious about it. And we ought to be serious about it too. And now we're one with the Lord. His life is our life. His health is our health. His strength is our strength. His enemies are our enemies, but guess what else? Our enemies are his enemies. God will come to fight your battles. God will watch over you. And everything God has is yours, and everything you have is God's. And that's the beautiful truth and the beautiful reality that we remember. What do you have need of? What have you been praying for? You've been praying, "God, I hope," and "God, I pray," and "God, maybe you'll do this." No, no, no. Pray from that place of covenant. "God, I remember. Lord, I need some strength, our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God, I need some health. Hey, by his stripes you were healed. It's a covenant promise. God, I need wisdom. Well, hey, pray and God will give it liberally and without reproach. God, I've got some enemies. There's some giants that need to be taken down. God says, "I'm coming. I'm running to you. I'm running to your side. I'm running to your aid." He goes before you and he watches behind you. The angel of the Lord encamps about those who fear him. Oh my goodness, you've got God's attention. You've got God's blessing. You've got God's protection. You have everything you need in Christ Jesus. Signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you. And tonight, God, we're not just toasting at a table, God. Tonight we raise our cup to heaven. To Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To our Savior. And our God. And tonight, Lord God, we thank you for the covenant that we have with you. Father, most of all, we say thank you. We do this in remembrance of you. Go ahead and partake of the cup. Can we stand together as we sing one more time?
And I want to read this verse one more time. And Nehemiah, he said, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send the portions to those whom have nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Say that with me. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. We love you, Rock Church.
And mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood.
I'm alive.
Jesus, for the power of the blood. Hallelujah. We're a grateful people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Well, I know we've been saying it a lot, but I think it's worth saying again. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those who have none. Happy Thanksgiving, Rock Church family. I want to let you guys know how grateful we are for each and every one of you. We pray for you daily. We love you so much. And have a wonderful, safe, and happy Thanksgiving. For those of you that prayed that prayer, all 28 of you guys, I think there was, something like that, on your way out. And then anybody that prayed, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart. On your way out tonight, as a reminder, there'll be some friends, they'll have some books, they'll be waving those for you. Just head over there and just connect with them for a quick minute. They'll give you a book absolutely free. And we want to encourage you guys to get back into church. If you're out of the area, find a Bible-believing church that you can plug into and plant into, and be blessed knowing that you've got a family here at The Rock, that anytime you're around, you're welcome, and this is your house, okay? I want to mention to you guys, we'll be back this weekend with church part number 10, concluding how to control the flesh, right? You're not going to want to miss it after Thanksgiving, okay? So go eat, and then come back and learn the last part, all right? So we're going to have a great time, and then we're going to get into some Christmas messages and Girls Night Out's coming up. So we have a great season ahead of us, all right? So as we dismiss tonight, can I bless you as you go? Would you lift your hands? Oh, wait, Pastor Jess.
Okay, so if you're in the room, you can lift your hands still, but really quick, you can praise Jesus because we're giving you buy one, get one free tonight at Girls Night Out for Thanksgiving.
Wow.
So if you're like, I don't have the money, go out there. Just tell them what you can do. We want you here, girls. We want you to come. We don't want you to miss out on what God has for you. So don't let money be in the way. We love you and happy Thanksgiving.
Wow. Happy Thanksgiving indeed. All right. Very good. Go get the BOGO. Hey, it's the Black Friday sale starting early at The Rock. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let me bless you. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith about the Inland Empire, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at The Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.